Well, good morning. Good to have all of you here on the hill this morning. Welcome. And if you'll take out God's Word, I also ask you to, if you'll look, get out your life point outline, you'll find it in your Sunday bulletin as we get ready to start this morning. While you're doing that, let me just announce to you that many of you, we're reading through the Bible this year. Many of you have already picked up your new Bibles through the library. We've got them at a discounted rate there. They'll take you through the Bible chronologically, and I'm excited for all those that we had so many to just come in and are starting this journey with us this year. So it's a real exciting time. And we're adding something alongside of that, and that is the Voice of the Martyrs organization has put out the book called Extreme Devotion, and it is a series of daily one-page devotionals, and it contains the stories out of the life of people who have given their life for Christ. Many of them literally given their life for Christ, have lost their life in just taking a stand for the Lord in some very difficult situations. Many of them just other examples of living for the Lord on a daily basis. But these are the people that have attracted the attention of Voice of the Martyrs organization. It's a great book. This are at a discounted rate. Many of you have already ordered this. You said that you wanted one. They are in. They had run out, and they've gone through a new printing. And so you can go by today as you're leaving, go by the library and pick up your copy. All right, we're in this series. If you're new to the Hill this morning, let me just say welcome. And in the seat in front of you, there's what we call a Connect card. And if this is your first time with us, I hope that you won't just kind of fly under the radar. If you feel like that's what you need to do, that's fine. But we hope that you'll let us know that you're here. I'd just like to encourage you and let you know we're excited to have you. I'd like to communicate with you, find out what your journey is about, what you're looking for. If you're looking for a church home, we certainly want to help you in that journey. We'd be glad to sit down with you and talk about who we are as a church. For those of you maybe who have been here for a while and you're ready to make a commitment to church membership, our membership class is going to be the last Sunday in this month, and I'll be teaching that class. It'll be from 9 to 12 on that Sunday morning, and you can sign up for that. Also getting one of those Connect cards out of the chair in front of you and print your name and address and a means of contact for you. And then on the other side, check that you want to take Life 101, which is membership class. And then as you're leaving this morning, the ushers will be at the doors. This is where we take up our offering. And you can just drop that card in the bag, and we'll sign you up for our membership class. Well, this morning, as I said, we're in our series for starting this year, and that's the year that you change. And that is a statement of hope. It's also a statement of challenge for all of us, that this will be the year that we do change. And on the screen, you saw what we're really calling like our theme verse, if you will. It's not the verse that we use every week, because I'll be getting some different areas in God's Word to bring the messages. But the theme verse would be Romans 12 and verse 2, which says, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So watch this. This is what God is saying to us. As we look at 2018, God has just told me, and he's told you that as his kids, God is saying, John, I want you to be a nonconformist as far as the world is concerned. In other words, if I'm following him, I'm going to march to a different drum. I'm going to march to a different beat. My feet are going to be on a different path. And that is really God's call to me. God has called me to be someone who is going to help the world see that there's another way. And that's the challenge of our walk with him. But here's the truth in alignment with that in your outline. In 2018, you and I will either be transformed to look more like Jesus, or we're going to be pressed by the world into their mold. I have to make a conscious decision every day to not let the world press me into its mold. There's this constant pressure of the world to conform, to be what they want me to be. And so this morning's message is entitled, if you notice, Never Give
up, because we're going to be tempted to do that because of the things, the pressure of the world and the different things that are going on in our life. So I want us to listen to what the Apostle Paul said, and we're going to jump into the message. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, and Paul is talking about change. He's talking about becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. And he says, verse 12, not that I've already obtained that. In other words, I haven't gotten to where I totally need to be. Not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect or totally matured in the Lord. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So in other words, it's kind of like a New Year's resolution. He's just saying, this is something I am constantly pursuing. You know, whether it's the first of the year or whenever, he says, I realize I haven't gotten to where I need to be. And so there's this thing that's just out there in front of me. I want to lay hold of that and become that which Jesus laid hold of me to become. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But this one thing I do, not these 40 things I dabble at, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting my errors, forgetting my challenges, forgetting my stumbles as far as I'm not letting them hold me down, I reach forward to what lies ahead. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right, now here's what I want to do. In order to kind of open this up for us this morning, I want to start off by number one, if you'll notice, the power of hope for life change. The power of hope for life change. Because what I want to do, I want to recognize the single greatest attitude that's necessary for life change. In fact, I made that the first truth. The single most important attitude for your future is the issue of hope. If I'm going to change, if you're going to change, there has to be hope operating inside of you. Otherwise, you'll just fizzle out. You won't do it. You will dumb it down, and you'll just accept where you are or that you can't change. Let me ask you a question. When you think about your future, when you think about your family, when you think about you, what is your emotional response? You know, you're looking out ahead. You know, for some people, maybe it's apprehension. Maybe it's just downright fear, or it's just like, you know, apathy, or like, I don't know, I don't care. I mean, everything's been going on in my life. I don't know. It's not making a difference, really. Or maybe you're excited. But I want to know if you're excited because of a biblical reason. Here's what I want you to understand. As a child of God, if you've come to the Father through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, that you know that Jesus didn't just die on the cross for the world. He died on the cross for you. Jesus came for you because you are a sinner. You're lost from Him. And the only way you could ever come home is for the Lord to come and die for you and pay for your sin so that the Father could receive you. And as you trust what Jesus did, God takes the holiness and the goodness of Jesus and puts it on you. It's all a gift. And the Father says, I do this because it has fulfilled my law. He who was guiltless died for the guilty. He took your place. He died in your place. And the Lord says, if you will say, I honor Him, I take Him as my only hope, God forgive me, the Father says, for my Son's sake, I'll forgive you. And I'll put all of His goodness on you. Now here's what He says. Because that has happened to you and me, God says, every day I look for one emotional response. Every day when God looks at John Green, when God looks at you, God is looking for one emotion. He is looking for the emotion of hope. God is looking for hope. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, God is talking. Listen to what He says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Now listen, plans to give you hope and a future. If you know Jesus Christ, listen, if you know Jesus Christ, The plan of God, God's gift to you every day of your life is the gift of hope. He gives you hope. And it will be in your children's lifetime. If the world stands, it'll be in your children's children's lifetime and in your great-great-grandchildren. It is for this whole nation. It is for every people group on this planet. God wants to give us. The gift he gives us is the gift of hope. Well, let me give you an insight here because I know what you're thinking. Our usual definition of hope isn't biblical. Because when I said God gives you hope, that probably didn't ring like it should in your heart. We make hope a weak and insipid thing. It's not, usually when what we call hope is not biblical hope because God intends for it to be something powerful, something life-changing. Usually when we use the term hope, what we're really talking about is we're wishing for something. You know, well, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow because we're planning this trip. You know, we're going to be outside. I hope it doesn't rain. In other words, I really wish that it doesn't rain. You know, I hope when we go fishing that we'll really catch a lot. You know, I hope that what I paid for is what comes in. I hope I get what I ordered. I hope this movie isn't a waste of my time. It's all about wishing. Biblically, hope doesn't mean to wish. Biblical hope is the establishment of fact. This is what I wrote down. You may want to write this down somewhere. Hope, biblical hope, is a settled resolve that the future will be taken care of by God's faithful oversight. Biblical hope is Romans 8:28. For we know that God works all things together for what? For the good to them that love him and are called according to his name. And so when I have biblical hope, I have hope. So I don't worry about the outcome. If I'm at the hospital and they have done a biopsy or they've done a surgery, and the doctor comes in and says, it's cancer. Well, in Jesus Christ, I have hope. You know what my hope immediately springs up inside of me? Hope immediately springs up. And inside of me, I say, God, Father, I didn't realize that I never thought that I was going to have cancer. And I don't even know what this is going to mean. And maybe this means that I'm going to go home sooner than what I thought. But I am trusting you. And I know from what the scripture teaches me, it is better for me to die at my appointed time than to ask for you to give me an extension. I don't want an extension. I want to live as long as you want me to live because you have made me a promise that my days have been determined since before the foundation of the world. And if this is my time, then so be it. But I've got hope because I know if you call me home, you're going to take care of my wife. You're going to take care of my home. You're going to take care of my family. Why? Because you're my God. You're my Father, and my life is totally in your hands. When I have hope, I can sleep tonight without fear of tomorrow's challenge. Why? Because I'm not in this job. I'm not going to school. I'm not doing whatever I'm doing because it seemed like a good thing to do. Because I am living my life. You and I are living our lives, and we do what we do out of a firm conviction. This is what God wants us to do. You're majoring in what you're majoring in college, not because it's just what you want to do, but because you believe that's what God wants you to do. It's part of God's plan for you. You're not just somebody out there, I'm just going to get a higher education so I can get a good job and make money. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? People are leaving their jobs every day. Why? Because they're bored. People are leaving their jobs. Why? They're making good money and they're leaving it. Why? Because they don't like it. They don't feel fulfilled. You need to do what you do because it's what you were made to do. You were made to do it. God made you to do that. If God made you to teach, teach. If God made you to be a practitioner, do that. Be a doctor. Be a farmer. Be a lawyer. Be whatever God made you to be. But don't do it simply because it just seems like a good thing to do. Why? Because God made you. And you're here for a purpose. And that means when life goes all screwy, and I promise you, it will go screwy. And when it does that, then you can sleep at night without fear of tomorrow's challenge. Why? Because I am doing this, I am in this, because this is what God called me to do. And God's in my future. It's all in His hands. God is going to take care of me. I have hope. God is faithful as I wait for His timing, because He will surely do what He says. Does that make sense? That's what hope is. And in your outline, the truth is, hope is like oxygen to the human spirit. You see, biblical hope is not optimism. If I'm an optimist, I see a glass as half full. If I'm a pessimist, I see it as half empty. If I'm a child of God who lives by hope, I don't see the glass half full or half empty. I see the glass in God's hand. I don't care what condition the glass is in. It doesn't matter if it's half full or half empty. All I want to know is the glass is in God's hand. And because it's in God's hand, He's going to take care of me. Listen, some of you are pessimists. You were born with a frown on your face. What you believe with all your heart is the badness of the day cannot exceed what's coming tomorrow. It'll be worse tomorrow than you've ever imagined. But even as a pessimist, you can have hope. You say, tomorrow's going to be like hell, but Jesus will be in it. Let me give you a four-word definition for hope, all right? What's a four-word definition for hope? God is in control. That's hope. Amen? That's hope. That's what hope is. When you see that, it changes everything, because you realize that God's plan will always prevail. It's what David said in the Psalms when he said, I would have despaired unless I had believed, unless I had hoped that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, he said, I would have despaired with what I saw in life unless I had believed my God, who rules and reigns, would be good to me, and I would see the goodness of God before they put dirt on my face. That's what he said. While I'm still alive, I believe I'm going to see the goodness of God. Now, listen, if you believe that, because we live in a state of hope and in God's faithfulness, then because of that, number two, we should set some life goals. We should set goals. So number two, God's plan of goal setting for life change. You see, the Bible says that God's got plans for this planet. This planet's on a time schedule. And man's not going to destroy it. God's going to destroy it. And He's going to remake it. But God's also got plans for my life. He's got plans for your life. And let me read Jeremiah 29:11. And instead of plans, I want to put the word goal, because it means the same thing. Now listen to it. For I know the goals I have for you, says the Lord. They are goals for good and not for disaster, to give you future and hope. Did you know that the Lord Jesus set goals? He did. And it's an example for me. Mark 1:38. Jesus, the Bible says, got up every morning and would go out to a quiet place to pray. One of the things the disciples got used to was every morning when they woke up, their first assignment was find Jesus. Because we're really not sure where He is. Sometime during the night, He would get up and He would just go. And He would get away from everybody, go off to a quiet, solitary place to there pray. So the first order of the day is find the Lord. And so Peter finds Him in Mark 1:38. And he said, Lord, do you not know people are looking for you? People want to talk with you. People want to ask you questions. And Jesus said this. He said, I've got to go to other towns. That is why I came. What Jesus simply said is, and this is the truth I'll give you a little bit later on. This is coming. It's not right now. But it is this. If you don't set your own life goals, somebody will set them for you. If you don't determine how you're going to use your life, somebody will determine how you ought to use your life for you. So look at the inside in your outline. Goal setting is to be a mark of those who follow Christ. Because Jesus lived his life on earth with this sense of mission. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. That's what I want to get into our seniors in high school. All of you that are in school, I want to get inside of you that you understand. It's not about just saying, well, what do I want to do? It is, what does God want me to do? What has God equipped me to do? Why? Because if you belong to Christ, you are on a life mission. And the years that we have on this earth are to accomplish what God put us here to do. We're not just here primarily just to suck up oxygen. God wants us to enjoy life. He enjoy our days, but he says, I put you here for a reason. You have an assignment. Let me go back and read our text from the Message translation. Paul says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. You see, here's what I want you to understand. God is saying it's not important that you've got everything all figured out about the Christian life. So you don't have to do that. None of us have it all together. But God says what you ought to know above everything else is that you are chasing after him. And what that means is that you as a husband or as a wife or as a young person, that you've got life goals, you ought to have family goals, you ought to have ministry to others goals that stretch your faith. Because that's what God put you here to do. God put you here to make a difference. And Paul goes on, he says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning me onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything that God has for us. God has a goal for you. So I want to repeat it to you. It's the truth in your outline. Either you set your own goal or somebody will set it for you. I need you to do this. I want you to do this. Will you do this? And if you don't have goals, then you're just coasting through life. And let me give you a truth about coasting. When your life is coasting, it's always going downhill. In other words, you and I need to be chasing something specific. There is something we're going after. And here's the insight. Goal setting is determining what's important to you as you understand God's leading in your life. I set goals based upon why God put me here. And so as a shepherd here, my goals are about challenging you. My goals are about, God, what do you want this church to be? My goals are about challenging us to reach out and to trust God to do more for what his plan is. Because God's desire is to grow a church on this hill. God put in my heart a vision of 3,000 on this hill. And I thought, Lord, there's no church in the Piney Woods, East Texas, runs 3,000. This is not Dallas, Lord. And just clearing my heart, God has said, I'm not asking you to agree with it. I'm asking you to accept what I want to do here. This is what I want to do. And I want to tell you something. The property that we're on, everything that has happened here are things that the doors never opened until right now. God brought me from South Arkansas, brought me here, and he has begun to draw people from all across the United States coming here to Texas and coming here to the Piney Woods of East Texas. Why? Because God is building a church. And my goal is to put that in front of you. My goal is to hang on to that. That is why God planted me here. And that is the thing that gets me going. It gets me up every morning. It keeps me focused. Because I know God is alive on this hill. And I know that God is saying, there are miracles I will do on this hill if you will do what I tell you to do. And what I'm telling you is, God wants to put you on miracle ground if you will say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I am above chasing after money. I am above chasing after prestige or whatever. I want a life of significance. I want to do what I do because it's what feeds my soul. I want to enjoy getting up in the morning. I want to be driven by something. That's what God wants to do. So let me land the plane with this. Number three, the presence of faith in goal setting. And the inside is this. Goals are statements of faith in God's purpose for why you're here. A goal is simply you saying, I believe this is what God wants me to do. And I'm gonna set this goal. This is what I want to do in such and such a time. The insight in your outline. A goal is a God-given vision that you put on a time schedule. You see, until you put a time schedule on it, it's just a vision. When you put a time schedule on it, it becomes a goal. And I'll tell you why there's a lot of people who don't set goals. Because goals require faith. Doesn't require, if you just want to mumble through life, doesn't require any faith. But if you say, this is what I want to do in the name of God, this is why I believe I have been put here. Some of you have asked me, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. I'm going to answer that for you this morning. Everybody, from this wall to that wall, let me tell you what God wants you to do. Jesus said in Scripture, he said, I did not come into this world to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many, right? Do you know what your purpose is? Your purpose is to serve. If I'm going to be like him, my purpose is to serve. Now, the challenge is, how does God want you to serve? But you see, you've already got 50% of the question answered. I sell a lot of you, you're going to sleep better tonight. That has narrowed it all down. What God is calling you to do is to serve. Not to be served, but to serve other people. And then God is saying, Ephesians 3 and 20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And God is simply saying, I want you to dream great things. And whatever you dream, I want you to understand, I can top whatever you can dream. There is nothing you can dream. I can't do more than that. And God is saying, I want you to do great things in my name. God wants us to put East Texas on the map. God wants us to put the piney with you. He wants something being done here in his name. And that's why God has brought you and I together. And the truth in your outline, the presence or absence of faith goals says more about my walk and yours with God than anything else. There are two common mistakes we make in goal setting. Number one, we set our goals too low. And number two, we try to accomplish them too fast. Any goal that you set for God shouldn't be able to be accomplished quickly. If it's a God-sized goal, it's going to dwarf you. And the only way you're going to be able to do it is by faith. So here's the truth in your outline. Goals give me hope to endure. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because he looked forward to the glory that was set before him. The glory of seeing you go to heaven. That you would be with him for all eternity. He said, for that, I'll go through all of this. So that you can live with me. Now listen, I know that some of you are going through a lot right now. Your suffering and your misery level is through the roof. At least that's how you feel. And maybe you've wondered, what does God want me to do? I am so miserable. What does God want me to do? I'm going to tell you what God wants you to do. God wants you to keep going. God wants you to keep going. Do you know, a study was done of the survivors of the Holocaust during World War II. The Nazis killed over 6 million Jews, not to mention Christians and Muslims and gays and everybody else, anybody else that they hated that died in their death camps. But when they did this study, they found that the one common denominator to the very last person of everybody that survived was they all had something to look forward to. Either they had somebody waiting on them or they had something that they wanted to live for. They had a goal. So look in your life point outline, the invitation challenge. Let God's truth restore hope in your life. Because I know there's some of you have lost hope. And look in your outline at this insight. The greatest killer of hope in life is loss. Some of you have lost a loved one, maybe a spouse, a husband, or a wife. Maybe you lost through divorce. Or you've lost your health. You've lost a financial dream. You've lost a job. I want you to listen to 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Do not put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God who richly provides for us. And here's what God is saying. Now listen, It is a huge mistake for me to build all of my life around my wife. I love her with all my heart. She's got anything I've got. I'll take a bullet for her. But God says, don't you build your life, don't you hang your life on her presence. Why? Because she may come home first. Huh? Does that make sense? There are some people here, and you're a widow or a widower, and you've given up. And you've given up because you've been left behind. I understand. I get it. I may not totally understand. I have no way of knowing how you feel because I still got Catherine. So I really can't say. But I'm telling you the truth. And the truth is, every day, spouses go to heaven ahead of their other one. Every day, people lose their health. Every day, a doctor says, I'm sorry to tell you this. Happens every day. Every day, a boss comes in and says, you've been a good worker. However, happens every day. And here's the truth in your outline. Life never loses purpose when you've got a God-given dream and a faith-driven goal. When you realize, I am here to serve him. And all this is working according to some plan. And the inside is there's no age limitation on dreams and goals. God says, I want you to be driven by my dream that I put in your life. The reason that I've put you here. Now let me close with this. Some of you this morning need to step across the line and you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sinful ways and you need to make a commitment of your soul to Jesus Christ. That's what you need. I put a prayer in the outline that either this morning you can pray that or you can take this home and you can get before God in the quietness of your home or your car or whatever and you can pray this prayer. Here it is. Let's read this together. Jesus Christ, I trust that you are there, that you can hear my prayer. I trust you to forgive me. I am trusting that you will forgive my sins. And I trust you with my life. Show me how to live for you. Now, that may seem like a small prayer. That is huge because what you've done is you're just letting go of your life and you're trusting it into the hands of God. I want my life to count. And I want to be here for a specific purpose. I want to know this is why I'm here. And nothing can kill my joy or my happiness in life because it's based on obedience to you. And then my last thing is this. Some of you this morning are in a lot of pain and you have a pile of problems. Fog has rolled in your life and you cannot even see or sense the presence of God in your life. I want to encourage you this morning. At some point, you just need to say, Father, see, what God's going to bring you to is that you would say, Father, I can't even feel you. I don't even know that you're here, but I know that you're here. I know you're present. And even though I can't sense you or feel you, I know you've got your hand on me because you've called me and you've got a plan for me. And so I'm by take a step of faith and I'm going to trust you in this dark time of my life. It's Isaiah chapter 50. I can't see, but I'm going to trust. And here's my prayer for you. Now just listen. I wrote this down. Father, I give you permission to change whatever needs to be changed in my life. Use these next several weeks to permanently transform my life. God, I ask you to restore hope in my soul. I want to dream your dream for my life. I want to have the courage to set goals with fixed times because my life has a purpose. Father, make the rest of my life the best of my life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Now listen, if that's your desire, if that's what you want, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Will you do that? If this is your desire, this prayer is your desire, I want you to step of faith. I just want you to stand to your feet right now and bow your head. Just stand quietly and reverently. And I want to pray this prayer over you one more time, and then we're going to have our baptism. I'll ask the candidates to be getting ready.